Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in a field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. As I mentioned in the introduction, this is a season of waiting, season of waiting and preparing to celebrate Christmas, but also a season of preparing to welcome Jesus when he comes again. Now, if there's one thing that unites us all, it's the fact that we don't like to wait. In fact, we probably hate it. Just Friday, when I was home visiting, I went out with my brother-in-law, my sister, and my niece, because there supposedly was a great deal on Apple Watches, and they really wanted it. And so we waited. And after about 3 hours and two Sprint stores, they finally got their beloved Apple Watches for half off. But the waiting that we are talking about doing, it mimics the waiting that already has occurred for the human family before the incarnation. Just think for a moment, for all of that time, before roughly the year, but 2,000 years ago, the human family was waiting for the Messiah. The promise of the Messiah is what gave them hope. King David was promised that his family line would continue forever. This became known as the Messianic promise. And it was believed that just as King David led the kingdom of Israel, just as King David led the armies to be victorious over all of their foes, despite the fact in many of those engagements they were vastly outnumbered, that the Messiah as well would lead an earthly kingdom. For many in Jesus' time, that's how they viewed the Messiah, as an earthly king favored by God. And for some, they believed that it would be the Messiah who would throw off the yoke of the Roman Empire and reestablish a kingdom just as glorious as King David's was. But hindsight being what it is, we, of course, know the truth. It was the Son of God who became human. He was born of Mary and named Jesus. And we know that the Messiah did battle an enemy, but the enemy he fought and defeated was the devil and the punishment of death. And then, after he had accomplished his work on earth, he ascended back to heaven,
to sit at the right hand of God. Since that victory and his ascension, Christians have waited for his second coming. Our second reading from St. Paul shows the urgency the early Christians felt. He wrote, "Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour for you to wake from your sleep, for our salvation is near now. When we first believed, the night is advanced, the day is coming." The hope of the second coming is what gives joy, joy to the life of a Christian. It also reminds us that Jesus has not left us alone. He still is fulfilling his promise to be with us until he comes again. It's so important that the church asks us to focus our attention on preparing for his second coming each year during this season of Advent. But I think there is a basic question that we all need to ask ourselves. Are we really looking forward to the second coming? Are we waiting with joy in our hearts? Despite the sin, the pain, the suffering, and the injustices that occur in this life, we've become comfortable with this life because we know it. But the second coming is an unknown, just as eternal life in heaven is a mystery. Now, Scripture offers us glimpses into that unknown. From Revelation, "I, John, saw the dead, the great and the lowly, standing before the throne." In another passage it says, "The Lord God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." And another passage says, "We shall not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in an instant, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In another passage, "He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body, by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself." And then there's this passage, "For the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Jesus himself assures us, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." And then moments before he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead, he assured Lazarus' sister Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Do you believe this? He asks that of Martha, but he also asks that of us. Do we truly believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do we truly believe in him, so that when we die, we know that we will live and believe that we will be raised from the dead? This is the fundamental question. Do we believe in Christ's gift of eternal life? Do we believe that his second coming is an event to long for and not to fear? It is understandable, as I said, because of the unknowns of both those events, that maybe our belief, our faith, is not as strong as it should be. And if that is the case, then let's take this season of Advent as a time to commit ourselves to joyfully waiting and to ask our Lord for this, to strengthen our faith, so that when he comes again in his glory, he will find us ready to welcome him, so that he can then escort us into eternal life in heaven.